If the nahar is small in its size, it's called nahar. Okay? Right? But if the nahar is wide and a lot of water flows in it, right? Like the Chattahoochee River, that would be not nahar, it will be nahar, it'll be nahar, nahara, with the fatha onaha. Because it's big, and it's got a lot of water that flows through it. Okay? And if it's small, it's nahrun. With a sukun on it. You don't create a vowel on that. Okay. وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا. I forgot the other ayah in the Quran. It's about Jannah. No. It's about Jannah where Allah uses the word Nahara. It'll come to me. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad ya Rabb. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ. Okay, this word, Allah is saying, and for this person, there was a reward, thamar. The word thamar has been recited three ways in the mainstream riwayat of recitations. Thamarun, thumrun, and thumurun. Okay? Thamarun, thumrun, and thumurun. Okay? And the meaning of thamar is basically, you know, thamar is basically what you get from the ta'am, the food, after you have harvested something. That's thamar. But if you have the word thumur, the word thumur basically means al-mal ul-kathir, lots of money. Mukhtalif min naqda, and all the different types of ways that you can have asset building, all of that Allah had provided him. وَكَانَ لَهُ ثُمْرٌ, that he had all the variety of assets that you can think of. Land, real estate, money, like today what do we have? Stocks, this, that, all different things of wealth building that you can think, he had all of that. وَكَانَ لَهُ ثُمْرٌ or ثَمَرٌ فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ. So his sahib, his friend, comes and he says to his friend, وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ, and his friend was trying to have a conversation with him. Okay. The word حِوَار in the Arabic language, what is a حَوْر? The word حَوْر is when in the back in the day when you used to have wells, and for example, if the well had, you know, if you had a bucket, a pail, you know, and then there was attached to a rope, and it had a pulley, right? And that pulley would pivot on a piece of wood that you would put. So you would put a wood. Before the pulleys, the wood was the pulley. So you would put the wood, and the wood was soft. You would put some like animal fat on it. And then that rope would be tied two or three times, and you would let the rope down. And when you would pull the wood itself, which is called the hawr, it would spin. And hiwar is a state when two human beings, they are talking to one another, and this wood goes this way, and then it goes the other way. Right? It goes like one direction, and then you let it go, it goes the other way. So hiwar is when one person speaks, and when you're done speaking, then the other person speaks. When people saw this type of conversation, they said, oh, this is very similar to hawr, i.e. they're alternating the talking points. And that alternation led to hiwar, i.e. discussion, being called hiwar in the Arabic language, okay? So, وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ, this person was having a hiwar with him. أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. I mean, come on. What was the discussion? You can understand why would he have to say such a statement, right? When you have to say, I'm better than you. When the other person is trying to give you some advice and you don't want to listen to that advice. Ya akhi, don't do this. Ya akhi, wallahi, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, Allah has given you all of this. Why are you doing? Ana aktharu minka malan wa a'azzu nafar. Come on, you're talking to me about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am better than you. Ana aktharu minka malan. I have more money than you. وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا, and I've got a lot more manpower than you. You think you are the favored one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yeah, he believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the example of a Muslim involved. And that's why many of the Mufassirun, as you mentioned this, they say this is the example of a believer who is entrenched in dunya and a believer that focuses on akhirah. This is the example of an average American Muslim. Like, this is so powerful. How this is going to be impact, how it's going to impact. Because oftentimes the rat race that we're involved in, right, one thing after the other. Like today I was reading one of the articles and it said, an average person living in America is more wealthy than any king that has ever lived 100 years ago. Most kings 100 years ago had maybe 7 or 8 changes of clothes. My grandfather, I remember, used to have one jacket for winter. And I remember vividly remembering him having that one leather jacket that he took care of. You know, he had one jacket and he had like a couple of sweaters that he had. Winter, right? And that's it. Now, mashallah, right? We don't have space. Like in our house, we don't have space. Like, you know, every house, we don't have space to put jackets. Like, oh, this one's for like when it's 17 to 21. And this one's like when it's 21 to, and this one's like for this. And this one's like for the, now this one's like, this has special function. Because we have separated those functionalities, but that has allowed us to become so distracted with dunya that we have forgotten akhirah. We've forgotten akhirah. Right? We've forgotten the value of the ni'mah of a hot water for making wudu in fajr. Right? Imagine when sometimes, you know, something happens and you don't have gas for a couple of days because there was a gas leak in your house. You don't have cold water. I know somebody, something happened to them, and they actually, for the 2 days, they're like, oh, we don't have gas, we're going to go to our friend's house. We can't even withstand living in a place where we don't have hot water, because we just don't have that. So this example is primarily about a Muslim who believes in akhirah. But akhirah is not his priority. And that's why this is very powerful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَبَرٌ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُ أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. Don't talk to me about connection with Allah. I'm better than you. I have 2 houses and a car and this and that, and my kids are going to this college. How come you're better than me? If you're the favored one from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? May Allah protect us. One of the Salaf, he used to say, the source of all sins. Okay. رَأْسُ النَّبَى لِكُلِّ مَعَاصِي رِضَ النَّفْسِ بِمَا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ. The source of all evils is when you become satisfied with your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're like, oh, I'm good Muslim. I can't improve anymore. MashaAllah, I have already reached. I am already connected. And when you become so comfortable, right, that it almost becomes impossible for you to grow. Okay? Last night, you know, we had, you know, a guest over, and he happened to be an imam too, and we were reading a book. and I came across this very interesting statement. Uyayna, radiallahu rahimahullah, he said that if Aisha, this is around 300 Hijri, he says, if Aisha radiallahu anha was alive today and he would see the Egyptian women and what they are doing in the streets, she would consider all of them non-Muslims. This is like at 300 Hijri, right? Like the standards were that we don't look up to one generation, we look up to Sahaba, we look up to the previous generation for our piety standard. That's our standard. How far are we from that? Okay. Then, وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. He enters his garden and Allah is like, وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Question for you. He is entering the garden and Allah is like, at the time of his entrance, he was already a transgressor. How can you be a transgressor وَهُوَ ظَالِبٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. He had already transgressed upon himself, but he has not even entered the garden. How do you do that? What is Allah referring to over here? Think about it. So Allah is like, he enters his garden. He has all this wealth. He enters his house, all of the things that Allah has given. And I was like, in the state of his entering, وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. He was already a transgressor upon himself. Right? Sorry? Beautiful. How? Did he say anything? In his heart. Allah is referring to the state of his heart. Before even he says, قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. He says, I don't think this is ever going to perish. Before he says this statement, Allah is like, وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. He was already a transgressor in his heart, in his mind. He had already transgressed upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was already arrogant. Okay? And that is why the ulama, they say that a person, we have two inclinations. Okay? We have something called the demonic desires, and that is from our nafs and shaitan. So nafs and shaitan, they work together, right? And their natural disposition is they like demonic desires. And then you have something called angelic volitions, okay, which is lammatul malak, i.e. the angels that will inspire you to good. They will push you towards a good direction. You will feel sometimes this taqah, this special energy to be able to get up and do tahajjud, but then you won't find that in a couple of days. You won't find that for 6-7 days. That is something the ulama, they say, it's called lammatul malak. And when that happens, and if a person responds, then it happens a lot more. And these are called angelic volitions, okay? So, and it's a conscious choice you have to make when you feel that to be able to respond to it. Okay? So, he was already a transgressor because he has allowed his nafs. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ هَوَاءَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen the person who has taken his ilah, his deity that he worships, his own nafs? So he was already a nafs worshipper. Right. And he was already trans. He's like, all of this is because of my money, my ilm, my knowledge. What does Allah has to do with any of that? Okay. May Allah protect us, man. وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. And he was a transgressor upon himself. قَالَ. When he enters, he looks at all of this wealth. And he says, مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. I don't even think for a second. مَا أَظُنُّ. I don't think. أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. This is ever going to perish. Right? بَادُ الشَّيْءِ. I.e. to something that perishes. بَادَ يُبِيدُ. أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. This will never perish. Right? How many times have we seen in our lifetimes, individuals? I remember my sheikh, he said that there was a person, he came to this extremely rich person, super rich person. And the idea was that we're going to build a charity that is going to cover the cost of medical expenses of the poor people who cannot afford proper healthcare. And this was in one of the Muslim, really, really well-to-do Muslim countries. So this rich person, he listened and said, I'm not interested in this. It's okay. I don't think, you know, he said, I don't think any of those poor people will ever be able to get to me anyways. So I don't want to support them. Like height of arrogance, that, you know, forget supporting those poor people, will never be able to even get to me. Forget me supporting them. Like complete arrogance. So the sheikh walked away. Again, he went to other people and the charity was built. And one day he was sitting there, and one of the individuals that shows up to seek help is that same rich person. He comes to the charity and says, I can't cover my hospital bills. Can this charity provide some support to me? So obviously this person did not remember the sheikh because he had, you know, pushed away so many people. And he said, yes, we can definitely support you. And after they took care of him, he reminded him. He said, do you remember? You were the first person I came to ask for help, for money. What happened to all your factories? What happened to all your wealth? What happened? He said, you know, I was sick. And my son, he said to me, he said, Dad, you know, I have this crazy idea in America. And I will change our future for all of us. Just transfer all the assets to me and I will do this and this and this. And I trusted my son. I was sick and I said, yes, he's not going to betray me. And I transferred all my assets. And when I transferred the assets, he changed his number and we don't know where he is. And he doesn't want to respond. And he's taken all of my wealth. His own son. And he's in America. And he said, I was left with no wealth. Because I really thought my son was never going to backstab me. Right? And then, Al-Muhim, this wealthy person, he passed away. May Allah forgive him. And, you know, raise his ranks, inshallah. But again, sometimes we think that our dunya is eternal. It is going to protect. Oh, no. There's no way. I got too much money to be worried about anything. Right? I got too much money. Look at Qarun. Right? I've been given all this wealth because I have a degree. I have knowledge. Ilmin. My knowledge has allowed me to get this ilm. This wealth. Right? And what was his mafatih, his keys? Uli usbatin. Yani you had a lot of powerful men that had to carry the keys of his treasures. Right? And how was his end? Nothing. Right. So may Allah protect us. But sometimes this dunya deceives us. He said, this dunya of mine, this fruition of mine, this will never ever dissipate. And he says, you know, I don't think the hour is actually going to happen. I don't think qiyamah is an actual thing. Wallahi, I've had dinner table discussions with doctors, with scientists who sit and they start having these discussions because they think, you know, like, oh, we have finally a sheikh that we can talk to. And they start saying like, oh, sheikh, you know, I really don't think one day we'll have a solution for death. You know, we'll understand the ruh and we'll be able to control it. Who's Allah? It's a Muslim's house. And I'm like, I don't even know if this food is halal or not now. Right? Like, I'm like, wow. And then, like, we've had this, and it's shocking. They're like, Qiyamah, Sheikh, Qiyamah, Dajjal, all of this stuff. Come on, do you believe in these fairy tales? Fairy tales, right? And subhanAllah, the Quran proves itself. Right? What does it say in Surah Al-Mutaffifin? أساطير الأولين, right? Like the person says, these are fairy tales of the people of the past. That's not something new. People who have denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have been Muslims, right? Qiyamah, what is Qiyamah? There's going to be no Qiyamah. These are Muslims. Pray Jummah, but they don't believe in Qiyamah. They don't believe in Dajjal, right? Hajib. So there's not something far-fetched. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةٌ. There's two explanations. One is the way he lives his life, his actions are a representation that he doesn't believe that there's ever going to be Qiyamah. And that is why you can trample over the rights of people, look at whatever the Muslim rulers are doing in Muslim lands. Right? They literally, ajib. On one hand, whatever is happening in Gaza, not a single Muslim leader even has a spine to be able to speak against. And you have a small African country from the global south, small, who's in debt of IMF, and he goes up, I think yesterday, and he gave a speech. And you guys should all listen to that speech. Right? He said, I am putting my stance on the record. If these were white people being killed, the entire world would be at arms right now. You don't care about black and brown skin. And this is in the United Nations. And the Palestinian, the state of Palestinian, that United Nations person, she was actually crying in the entire speech. Because all of these Muslim leaders with billions of dollars of wealth can't even say a single thing. And then when they go back to their countries, all they do is what? Like, you know, that King Abdullah of Jordan, he took out his sword. He's like, for the haqq. Which haqq are you talking about? On one hand, you're facilitating all of the food that goes to Israel through your land. It's just, it's pathetic. Why? This is the ayah. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةٌ. They are living as if there is no qiyamah that is going to happen. You have forgotten that Allah is going to hold you accountable? You have forgotten that you have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They live like, مَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةٌ. This qiyamah is not going to happen. وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. And the other belief they have is, if we were to eventually go back. And oh, here, this is very important. رُدِدْتُ is majhul, i.e. over here it says, and if it happens to be that I am brought back, majhul, I don't want to come back, but if it happens to be that I end up coming back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so there's also a doubt in that coming, that, oh, listen man, if it happens to be that I come back in Qiyamah, if it happens to be that, وَلَا إِرُّدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّا خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. I'm going to find something even better than this dunya as a return. That's the delusion that they have. That's the delusion that the people have. That's the delusion that the leaders have. That's the delusion that every person who is transgressing, trampling over the rights of people. Right? You know, there was an incident that happened, and I remember a friend of mine, you know, he went through a really bad experience. And everybody was willing to support him. And few of the brothers came and they said, look, you know, we're gonna give you like $20,000. You should litigate against that Islamic organization. And we both happen to have the same sheikh. And so we got on the call when he was going through that difficult time. And we got on the call. And the sheikh said something so powerful. He said, أَتَسْتَخْدِمُونَ قَوَانِينَ الْكُفَّارِ لِلْحَقِّ. You use the laws of a non-Muslim land to get your haqq. وَتَنْسَوْنَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And you forget Allah, whose just court is going to be the most just ever. And he said, we did not teach you, the sheikh said to him, we did not teach you ilm so that you go back and start using. We teach you ilm so that you become role models. So walk away from this and then let that affair be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, the brother, he walked away. Right? The point being that when you have yaqeen in akhirah, your natural disposition of how you behave is very different. وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. The word wajad is something very interesting. There are three types of mawjudat in this world. Okay, it's a little tangent, but I think it's important for us to understand. The word wujud, existent, something that exists, existent, right? Wujud. Wujud is something that you can ascertain the existence of with your hawas, with your five senses. And things that are ontological in their existence. Okay? Do you guys understand ontological? They exist, but they're not physical. Okay? Things that exist, but they're not physical. Okay? Such as, give me an example. Love, hate, jealousy. MashaAllah, aqidah is working. That's good. Right? All of these things are ontological existence. They exist, but only your aql can. If you don't have aql, you cannot say some love exists. Your aql determines love. Okay. So, mawjudat are of three types in this world. Anything, any existent, something that exists in this world, they all fall under three categories. Okay. First one, موجود لا بداية له ولا نهاية له. Something that exists and that existent does not have a beginning and does not have an end. Who is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And this is a little bit of an aqidah lesson, but I think it's important. You have a point? I think the mic is dead. Can you ask Asad to raise the volume for this, please? Can you hear me at the back? So, existent, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is la bidayata lahu, la nihayata lahu, okay? And I'll come to the whole aqidah point. It's very important for us to understand. When you understand this, you'll understand, I would say, like 50% of aqidah. The second is things that exist that have a beginning and they will have an end. Okay? Something that had a beginning and something that will have an end. Give me an example of that. Us. Animals. Okay? Animals. Trees. All the living thing that exists. And even sometimes non-living things. But non-living things, they exist. Like the chairs will exist. But after Qiyamah, they will not come back. They will cease to exist. The third category of things are things that will exist, but they will not have an end. What is that? Good. There are eight things. Good. There are eight things, when they come into existence, they never have an end. Okay, so yeah, one by one. Okay. Give me the eight things. One. Jannah, Jahannam, Arsh, Kursi, Qalam, Lawh al-Mahfuz, the sacrum, right? The Cossack's bone of the human being. When it comes into existence, that's the one thing that the Qiyamah does not destroy. Okay? And the last one, where's an ikhtilaf between Kursi, whether it is Kursi or whether it is the Ruh. Okay? If you add the ninth item, Ruh is the ninth item. Okay? When the Ruh comes into existence, it doesn't ever go away. And then human beings after the Ba'ath, i.e. when we will be resurrected, then we become an existence, that we come into existence and we will not have an end. Everything else will have an end. Okay? Now, from just this part, you can prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the necessary existent. Okay? It is necessary for Allah to exist. How is that? If everything that came in this world had a beginning, okay? If everything that came in this world had a beginning, somebody initiated that beginning. And that somebody who initiated that beginning cannot have a beginning. He cannot have a beginning. Otherwise, he is like all the other existence. And then it will stop at Allah. Right? It will stop at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the necessary existent. Now, how do we know he is the necessary existent? Because every single thing in this world... Are you necessary for this world?
No.
How do you know that? If you weren't there, nothing would change. There was a time you didn't exist. There was a time you didn't exist. There was a time you didn't exist. There was a time I didn't exist. And there will be a time when none of us will exist. But the world will exist. Right? So if we are all not necessary for this existence, it is necessary that somebody is there who has to be necessary for existence, right? To bring all of these unnecessary existence. Okay? And again, this is it's an entire aqidah class, but this is a very important, that the concept of wujud. Okay? Concept of wujud. And again, from here comes the wujud of that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can go on long discussion on that of Allah. We're not going to get into that. That could take us an entire tangent. لا أجدنا. So this root word is for the word لا أجدنا. Okay, and the understanding of the word أجدنا. Okay. I hope these tangents are not boring for you guys, right? Like I hope that it adds. Yes, it's off topic, but sometimes it's necessary for us to understand that concept of wujud. Okay. Like similarly, the concept of irada. Right. I think we'll come across that. The concept of irada. What is irada? Right. Arad Allah. Right. Yuriduna wajha Allah. Like the concept of irada is very important for us to understand. We'll stop over here. وقال له صاحبه let me see if I can finish the next ayah. وما أظن ساعة أن تبيد هذه. We'll stop here because this now he's now his person is going to respond. This person is going to respond to his questioner, and we'll do. Yeah, we'll stop over here. We'll stop here, inshallah. Two quick points want to share, inshallah. So starting November when the time changes, okay, Isha is we could pray Isha at 7:30. So we are thinking of moving this back to 7:15. So not next week. The week after when the time changes, November 6th or whatever, because that's where every beginning of the month they send out new flyers. So Asad is like, let's not change anything now. So we'll carry on at this time. But then Maghrib would be earlier and stuff. And we'll, you know, have 7:15. We'll launch that. Second thing is, we're trying to look for people who can, me and Asad, we're trying to see what can we do. So one feedback we got is a lot of people that can't make it. Like, if they know that there's dinner here, they'll come, right? And then, so we said, we don't want to turn this into a dinner class, right? But then if it allows us for people to come one or two times, so we might do, like, after the time change, maybe a couple of weeks back-to-back, we might just simple pizza, like, nothing fancy. I don't want to have, like, biryani and all of that stuff. Something very simple pizza for people to actually know. And, you know, at least get that word out there. Sometimes people just show up for food and then they'll be like, oh, I like the class, and they can stay back, inshallah. Third part is, I think when the time change happens, what is important for us is to be able to communicate the benefit of the class that you have found in this class to other people. Because there are so many people that are looking for something like that, and sometimes they don't even know, right? I know somebody who did not know until they came across the video and they couldn't make it today, but they're going to come next week, right? They're like, oh, they saw the video. The third part is there's a group that Brother Hanifa has where you can, you know, if you want, you can join the group where any events that I am doing. So this is something that I, you know, some of the brothers came to me and I said, I don't have a problem. So they've created like a small group. It's a private group. We don't, no bombarding of any messages. Occasionally, if I come across some really unique information that I read, I will summarize it from Arabic into English and I'll post it for benefit. And most importantly, it is to just remind one another if the class is being canceled or when the class is on and stuff like that. So if you'd like to join that, he can have the QR code there and you can all join the QR code. We can also post the link on the comments for people online, the link to join that group, inshallah. And lastly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put lots of barakah and immense barakah in your lives. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا وبارك اللهم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها يا رب العالمين اللهم علمنا بما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم والله give us the ability to truly understand your Quran. O Allah, allow this Quran to be a source of barakah in our lives and a source of amal. O Allah, let our talab al-ilm be for akhirah. O Allah, let our talab al-ilm be for the sake of akhirah. O Allah, allow us to increase our knowledge, along with that, our amal. O Allah, everything that we have recited today, allow us to be able to implement it in our lives and give us the tawfiq to be able to have continuity and sustainability in that amal of ours. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give us the ability to truly, truly connect with the message of the Qur'an. Whatever portion of the Qur'an we know that allow us to illuminate our hearts and guide our lives in day-to-day basis. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Who wants to give adhan?